But it's a wonderful, well, wonderful and terrible passage at the same time. We're 1 week before Easter. Easter's when we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Easter is that amazing, joyous, and like Greg said, that's the best day. But the worst day was the Friday before. And that's what we just read about. It was a horrible day. The day when Jesus first had a mock trial, trumped up a bunch of charges against him, charged him as blasphemy, and then he was ridiculed, mocked, beaten nearly to death, had to carry his own cross up to Golgotha, hands and feet nailed to that cross, and hung there to die a horrible death, all for us. Jesus suffered, was persecuted, all for us. And here's the deal. Yes, the next day, he was risen, he rose from the dead, and that's what we celebrate, and we live in that joy and in that promise of a risen Christ. But we too are going to face persecution. It's a given. I want to read out of Philippians. Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Because I want to link these together. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Going back to 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. And Paul also says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Think about that. Everyone. Nobody's exempt from this. Why will they want to persecute us? So if you're taking notes, it's the probability of persecution. The probability of persecution. Why? Because what I believe and how I act will fly completely counter to the world and its ways. And they will often hate me for it. So, in thinking about why and trying to flesh this out, there's dozens and dozens, maybe 100 reasons, and I just listed 7 in your bulletin notes. Now let's go through a few of these. If I'm living as I should in obedience to Christ, very likely some people will actually hate me because I'm not sexually immoral. I was thinking especially of the youth in this one. Yeah, to be teased, to be ridiculed. What, you're still a virgin? It's that kind of thing. But I don't want to let anybody else off the hook. You know, in marriage, it's to remain sexually pure. If you're divorced, if you're widowed, don't fall into that same temptation either. And if somebody wants to give you trouble about it, like I was trying to tell the kids, get hard-headed. Stand firm. Get tough. Be stubborn on these points. Number 2, they're going to maybe hate me because I don't party with drugs and alcohol. And again, yeah, thinking a lot about the youth, you know, you're going to have to take it on the chin sometimes because you're not going to run with that crowd and you refuse to. But for the adults too, and how about you? Are you running with that crowd? Are you drinking too much? Or are you getting into illegal substances? We can't do that. You know, I was thinking about it. How many of our problems in life, the biggest sources of strain and conflict, began as a result of not standing for truth? when we gave way, when we gave in, when we compromised, what were the consequences? How would life be different now had you stood strong in the truth back then? Yes, there is grace for our past mistakes. Thank God, yes, there is forgiveness. But like one of my seminary professors told me, there's always forgiveness. But sometimes the scars remain. But if we continue in the same ways and in the same patterns, we're just going to perpetuate that cycle of shame. And that is not what God wants for us. God is not a killjoy. It's not. That's not why He's telling us, don't do this, don't do that. It's because He wants the best for us. He wants to take us out of the cycle of shame and put us into a cycle of grace. And that begins by deciding to stand for Him and to stand for the truth. So point three. They're going to hate me because I don't dress and act like the popular crowd. You know, because, and with the popular crowd in that culture, it's all about self-image. It's all about status. And I'm not just talking to the youth now. Why is it you drive the car you drive? Adults? Or maybe the way you dress. Is it all about status? Is it all about self-image? Because when we live in Christ, that's done with. I no longer live, but it's Jesus Christ who now lives in me, said the Apostle Paul. We need to have that same attitude. Same attitude as Paul. Same attitude as Christ. So number four, point number four, I view homosexuality as a sin. If you're taking notes, I view homosexuality as a sin. This is an unpopular one today, and it's growing to be more and more unpopular. Please hear me on this. If you have a question, if my saying this, my preaching this troubles you, come talk to me. I would love to talk about this. If you've got friends, if you've got loved ones, family members who are living a homosexual lifestyle, all right, let's talk. Let's talk. I know you care for them, and I sympathize with them. And they say, you know, I have these impulses. Well, I have sinful impulses too. I can sympathize, but I refuse to synthesize. I refuse to redefine sin in order to make it fit with their theology. And I've heard the argument, intended theological arguments, to try and say, no, it really means this in the Scriptures. I'm sorry, but I don't buy it. And I'm happy to talk with you about it and tell you about it. But no, right now, that, and if you'll look up those passages, that's why I put them in the sermon notes. Look them up. Read it for yourself. That's what the Bible says about those particular things. I may be stuck on stupid, but I'm standing on the Word and I'm standing on the Bible because it's never let me down. And so, yes, we need to love them. Absolutely. Please, let's love them. And anybody who's living in sin, but we got to hate the sin at the same time. And we can do that. Again, let's talk. We'll talk about it. All right? This next one, probably more for men. I don't tell off-color jokes. You know, the locker room talk. But, hey, you know, even at the business, at the office, standing around the water cooler, if someone's telling off-color jokes, maybe they won't like it when I walk away. And maybe they won't like it when I just say, I'm not going there. Sorry, but that's off color. You know, that's some of the reasons why people might persecute us, why they might not like us. These kind of things. All right, the next one, more for the ladies, but men can be guilty of this too. I don't join in with their gossip. Well, they might not like it when I say to them, I'm sorry, but that's gossip. And I'm not going to participate in that. They might not like it when you cut them off mid-sentence. Excuse me. No, we're not going there. That's gossip. All right? People might not like it because I refuse to take part in any venture that lacks integrity and that would involve deceit or fraud. Deceit or fraud. This could get tough. So if I'm a business person and I'm being asked to engage in some sort of deal that lacks integrity, involves deceit or fraud, and I say no, I'm not going there, could cost me a promotion, could cost me my job. The Proverbs talk about that. It's better to live in poverty and maintain your integrity. And what did Jesus say? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? I refuse to forfeit my soul. Let it cost me my job. I refuse. I will stand on truth. This is going to call for a lot of trust, an amazing amount of faith, all right? So the next point, the necessity of trust. But I trust in you, O Lord. I need to learn what it means to walk by faith if I'm going to do this. I have to trust that God's going to protect me. He's going to watch my back. He's going to comfort me and provide for me, even when it feels like I'm putting everything on the line for Him in order to stand for His truth. One of the devotional books we've been reading often as a family are from the Jesus Freaks series. I don't know if you've ever heard of these books. Amazing books. And they are stories of martyrs from ages past, but even modern-day martyrs. So especially people in persecuted countries. We've got Christian brothers and sisters in places like North Korea, in places like Iraq and Iran, where, you know, to be a Christian, to stand up and say you are a Christian, not could just cost you persecution, but I mean it can cost you your life. So when you read these stories, and we've been doing them as a family and with our kids, sometimes I get so choked up reading about their amazing faith, their trust in God. And I tell you what, you want to put your faith on steroids and make it stronger? Jesus Freaks. Or the Book of Martyrs by John Fox was the original book. But these are published by The Voice of the Martyrs. The Voice of the Martyrs, if you Google that one, amazing resources. The Voice of the Martyrs. And they've got a webpage. They've got all kinds of books they've published. I'm reading a book right now published by them. Stories from a North Korean family who over three generations have suffered persecution, torture, death by the hands of the North Korean government. And it's amazing when you read these stories how it steals your own faith. I mean, it makes your faith so strong. And yeah, you ask, could I? I mean, if a gun was at my head, if a knife was at my throat, if that's the kind of persecution, could I face it? And I keep telling my kids, humanly speaking, no, no way. But you just got to pray in that moment, in that time, please God help me. And I can guarantee you, because it's biblical, the Spirit will just increase in us in those times and help us. And so I say it to you, maybe our, you know, probably none of us are having a gun pointed to our head, a knife to our throat for being a Christian. But reviewing some of these other things I just went through, are we facing teasing or mocking or the pressure to cave in when it comes to our integrity? Pray, pray, trust. Trust in God, and He will do it. In that moment, He will give you the strength to stand up for Him, to stand up for the truth. What we need is, and here's my last point, to develop a will like iron. To develop a will like iron. And I love how Isaiah puts it. He says, I have set my face like flint. Like flint. The toughest of stones. The same thing when God told Ezekiel, just like I told the kids, I'm sending you to a stubborn and rebellious people, therefore I'm going to make you even more stubborn than they are. I'm going to make your forehead like flint. We got to be tough. We got to be hard-headed like that. We got to stand for the truth. And it's not just about then what we do, you know, our actions, our words. It gets deep into us. It's about our identity. It's because this is who I am, and I'm not changing. This is who I am. And so I can't be bought. I can't be bullied. How do I put it? I will not change my mind. This is not about an opinion. It's about who I am. My identity is in Christ. I've been baptized into Him, and so also baptized into His death. Just like Philippians said, to have that same attitude as Christ, obedience even unto death. I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in me. He is my Savior, and He is also my Lord. I will be faithful to Him, and I will be obedient to Him even unto death. I have set my face like flint. I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Have you decided? Have you decided to follow Jesus no matter what? Standing on His truth, standing on His word, though none will follow. World behind us, cross before us, no turning back. Heavenly Father, this is impossible. Without You, there's none of us that can do that. We're going to cave. We are going to fall flat on our faces. And so desperately we pray for You. Help us, God. Please help us that we can have that strength. You make our forehead tough like flint. Help us to be stubborn. Help us to be hard-headed. Lord God, help us to not cave in, but help us to live for You, to live through You, and to glorify You in everything. You deserve that, God. You gave us the example. Thank You, God, for suffering, not just persecution, but even death for us. And so, Lord God, here we stand, here we are, and we give it all to You. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name, amen.